If you have a Bible with you this morning, you will want to turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. I'm taking a phrase out of context. I'm aware that the issue is about not passing judgment on one another. That's the context. But there is an amazing phrase of Scripture here that I'm using as my text this morning that I trust will have a lot of vitamin C strength to it. Here it is. And he will be upheld. Chapter 14, Romans, verse 4. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That phrase, the Lord is able. If you underline your Bible, you will want to underline that. The Lord is able to make him stand. What a wonderful consolation that is. He is able. He is able. What amazing consolation in those three little words. He is able. It can change everything. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, and then Psalm 78, verse 19, and then verse 20, and then we'll look at Numbers chapter 11 and verse 23. It just shifts everything. When you're able to say, God is able to work in my life, to change what he needs to change, to bring about all that he needs to bring about. So, Psalm 78 and verse 19. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can he? I wonder, can he? That's what they asked. He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also, thank you, Alvin, can he also give bread? Can he? You see, there's something when you recognize the ableness of God, then you're able to change it, the unbelieving question, can God? It may be that you're asking that this morning in some issue of your life. Some issue of your ministry, some issue of your relationship to the Lord, and there's much, perhaps much doubt, and you're saying, can God? Can God provide? Can God look after us? Can God provide for us? Can God do this? Can God do that? Can God? See, that's, can he make a table, can he spread a table in the wilderness? Can he also give bread? That's the, can the Lord? And so we change the unbelieving question, can God, into a triumphant, God can. That's where the victories begin in your life. That's when things begin to make a difference. When you're able to say, you are able. I trust you. You are able. Now, the book of Numbers is equally helpful. You may want to turn there with me to Numbers chapter 11 and verse 23. Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? In other words, would all the quail, would that be enough? Would all the fish in the sea be enough? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Is the Lord's hand shortened? And the answer, what God wanted to hear, was no, the Lord can spread a table in the wilderness. The Lord can provide water out of a rock and quail out of the sky, and the Lord and the arm of the Lord is not too short. He is able. He is, God can. So we move from can God, and isn't that not the often cry? Can God do this? Can God do that? Can God look after me? Can God guide me? Will God, and yes, God can. God is able. God is able. And as you stand on that, looking fully to him, to be able to try to moving it from the question, the unbelieving question, into a triumph, God can. And so, and in so doing, we lay hold of his might. In so doing, we rise up for the battle, being able to say, God is able. I won't fail. God is able. I look to him and to him alone. So many people, they live in Psalm 78 and Numbers 11. They live there. Can God provide? Can God do this? Can he do that? And it's a defeated position. The other is consoling, and we rise and we lay hold of the strength of the Lord because of these kind of a statement. So I want you to turn with me. We're going to look up 7 verses that every one of them I rejoiced when I prepared my heart and prepared this message today. I just rejoiced. So here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And if you have a Bible or just want to watch the screen, I know whom I have believed, that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Some of you who are my age and older, you'll remember we used to sing this as one of our major, major hymns. That I know whom I have believed. That was the hymn. And we would sing that. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hymn. That I've committed unto against that day. In other words, that day when Christ finally comes. But here's the question. Are you able, that's not the right word. Are you convinced that you know whom you have believed? In other words, have you trusted God with your salvation? Are you able to say, I know whom I have believed, therefore he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him? That I entrusted my life to the Lord. Can I depend on that? Yes, you can. As I entrust my future to the Lord spiritually, many, many times this happens and people say, you know, I have lots of doubts about my salvation. Oh, I know about grace and I know about these things, but I just wonder, my behavior was pretty iffy, and I don't know if God could really love me. I wonder about that, if I just convinced myself. Maybe I'm not even saved. I don't know. But and that's the tune, that's the song, that they just so many doubts about that. But the writer, Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, he says he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him. I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. I've entrusted it unto him. I'm not hanging on to my salvation, I want you to know. He's hanging on to me. I'm not worrying every day, how do I feel about this? How is God feeling about this? Is he still with me? Is he guiding me? Is he directing me? Oh, I'm not what I should be. And so negative and so unfull of unbelief. Whereas the writer says he's able to guard what I've entrusted unto him right to that day when Jesus comes. He's able. When you give your life to him, here's the beauty of this. When you surrendered your life to him, he gave his life to you. We're not hanging on. That's you often use it, just hang on till the end, brother. It's not going to be easy, but if you just keep hanging on, I'm not worried about hanging on. I'm worried, all I'm concerned is that someone that I am blessed by is that someone's hanging on to me. He's able to keep everything I've entrusted into him about my life. I gave, as I surrendered my heart to him and my life to him, and all the years of my life, I'm able to say, he's able to look after things. You don't need to worry about that. Just rejoice in your heart that the God that you invited into your life, that Jesus, our Savior, our wonderful Savior, these things are entrusted to him for that final day. I know whom I have believed in. Absolutely certain. Doesn't sway me. It doesn't affect. And there's not one day, oh, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he's with me, he's not with me. Oh, I must have disappointed. I must have done something wrong. Oh, I better phone the pastor and get some prayer on this. And do you think I've lost my salvation, Pastor? Oh, where do you think you lost it? Oh, I think I lost it back then. Oh, maybe it was. But a real anguish. Here's my point. You can trust God with your salvation. It's about him caring for you, not you hanging on to him. He's able. It's not can God keep me, is that God is able to keep that which I've entrusted unto him. Well, let's turn to a second one. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20. And what a powerful, wonderful verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. How much more than I would ask and more than I can imagine. He's able to do. You know, so I might have an idea that could God provide that or bless that or look after that. And he said, listen, he's able to do more than you ask or even as you think. So if I was going to trust the Lord for some souls to be saved, I believe the Lord would say, now, if you're trusting me with this, I'm able to do even more than that. He said, as long as you know that I can provide more than what you can receive. Because I've got a fertile imagination. Whatever I ask, whatever I think, boy, that's pretty. And God says, I can do more. I want you to know of my ableness. God is able. Ephesians 3 and 20 just drives that home. But let's keep on in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. He says that I am, let me read it, you're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now we're talking about spiritual warfare. Now we talk about dark forces and demonic forces and demon spirits. I don't believe that our battle on a daily basis is so much against the devil as it is the principalities and the powers. I don't know if I'm that important to the devil to worry about. Pretty small player in the larger scheme of things, as we all are. But daily there are assaults, the schemes of the devil, the principalities and the powers and the dark forces in the heavenlies. And so the writer, he says, listen, he is able, he enables you to stand against the schemes of the devil, whatever the devil throws. We put our trust in the Lord, the schemes of the devil. And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, I'm able to withstand in the evil day. Listen, here's how it works. When you move it from can God provide a table, can God cause water to come out of the rock and bread from heaven? Can God, is his arm too short? When you move it from can God to God is able, God can. That's the prayer the Lord waits to hear. God, you are able. Able to look after my salvation. Able to do more than I ask or think. Able to cause me to stand against the schemes of the devil. And able to withstand in the evil day. Oh, what will happen on that day? What will I do when this happens or when that happens? You will stand. Why? Because God, as Romans tells us, God is able to make you stand. Depends who is holding you. If you're holding you, But if God's holding you, whatever. What about the passing of your parents? And you say, I don't know what I would do. What about this situation? What about that? What will I do on that evil day? You will stand. Well, how do I know I'll stand? What if I can't face the turmoil? What if it's bigger than me? What if it's more devastating? What if great calamity? You know, just brrr, these things just rear up. You have no time to do anything. What will happen on that day? God says he's able to make you to stand. That people will be losing it around you, perhaps. 1,000 at one hand, 10,000 on the other. But he said he is able on that day, on that evil day, when you wonder how would I be able to face it? Would I be able to go through with that? Would I fall apart? Would I be, I remember one time I was riding an airplane. I don't like flying because I have motion sickness issues, but I don't let it stop me from going anywhere. But anyway, I remember one time sitting on the plane and thinking, if all of a sudden they said, we're crashing, I said, I don't want to be the guy screaming. I don't want to be that guy. Ah! They're calming me. They're just, we're just testing the intercom. They're fine. It's all right. Remember that ad for BC Chicken? The guy's afraid to fly, and the guy beside him sleeping, and they're serving hot chicken, and the other guy said, oh, look, there go the wings. And he just passes. Guy just passes out. But it made me think, what about that day? God is able to make you stand. He's just able. This is the word of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. So not just the evil day, but now talking about the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Jesus continues forever. That's what the context of this verse that I'm about to read. Consequently meaning what? Consequently, because he continues forever. He has risen from the dead. He has no beginning and end now. He continues forever. Because of that, because he's alive forevermore on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. What a wonderful verse. He's able to save to the... I can remember preachers preaching this years ago. I haven't heard much preaching on that of the last decade, but they used to say he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. That was a phrase. From the guttermost, in other words, from the worst condition that somebody could be in. Say, could God ever turn that guy around? Could God ever turn that woman around? That situation? How, what's happened? This and drugs and that, and he's in trouble. Oh, all this situation. What do we say about that? He's able to save to the uttermost. That was an old hymn too. Able to those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. By the way, one of the guarantees of my salvation, music to preach by, so thoughtful, is the fact that he's alive from the dead, he lives forevermore, and he's Jesus in his high priestly prayer position prays day in and day out for all the redeemed. Now, if the high priest in the Old Testament, if his praying on behalf, standing between God and man, how much more our high priest? What do you think that if he prays for you to forever be saved, because he's standing in that prayer of intercession, what do you think the odds are that God's going to answer that prayer for the Lord Jesus? He's our high priest. And able to save in the most unlikely situation, the people that couldn't be more messed up if they tried, just so many issues and problems, and God can save them and God can keep them. I tell people, listen, if God can catch somebody, then he can, you know, he can catch the fish, he can also clean the fish. He's able to do that. God is able to do wonderful, wonderful things. And that's what he wants us to know about that, since he always lives. Always lives. He always lives. That's why he's able. He always lives to make intercession for us. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted. I like that about our Lord. I know there's many people, they can believe in God, but they can't believe in Jesus, it seems, seemingly. My take is a bit different. And it's always been this way. I don't know if I could believe in God if it wasn't for Jesus. Because our God has scars. The God that I believe in has scars. And they're there because of my sin. He took my punishment. He took my place. And he suffered. And he was, and because he himself has suffered when he was tempted, some marvelous, beautiful way he's able to help those who are being tempted. He's able. That in your hour of temptation, when you feel like turning aside and maybe giving up, the Lord is able to help those who are being tempted. You're tempted to quit. I've had people tempted to take their lives. They said, I said, I've been suicidal. I've contemplated taking my life. I thought, wow. Can you turn to the Lord? Can you put your trust in him? Will you? Will you move it from can God to God can? He's able to help those who are being tempted. And how many times we need that, right? Temptations. All kinds of temptations come, and the Lord is able to help because he himself, the Lord that we serve, is not some far off deity like a general, you know, coming in looking at the troops and waving at them, but he's been down in the trenches. Jesus has been where you have been. He knows exactly what you go through and what you've experienced. And it's a wonderful thing to know that this is a God who can relate to us. When I'm tempted, he understands that. It's a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. Then lastly, if you would turn with me to the book of Jude, verse 24. Again, this is one of those, there's only a few verses in the book of Jude, but this is how it ends. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Now to him who's able, here again, seven Abels in a row. He's able to keep you from stumbling. Fling yourself into the arms of the Lord. Fling yourselves into the arms of his security. Fling yourself into the arms of his significance in your life. Because here's a God who's able to keep us from stumbling. Present us blameless. Say, well, you see, you may or may not know this, but not one sin will ever enter heaven. Not one. So you have to be sinless in order to go to heaven. Now you know that, right? That's why we cling to Christ. We embrace him as our purity, as our salvation. The writer is telling us here, he's able to keep you from stumbling, and he alone will present you blameless before his presence. Blameless. Could anything be more wonderful? He's able to keep you from stumbling, and he's able to present you. I find that it gives me such a great consolation that I can rise up because of that saying, good, then I won't worry about that. I won't worry about my imperfections. Do I want them there? No. Do I want to walk in holiness? Yes. I related as my Lord, make me holy. But I don't think for a moment God's plan was that you would be unsettled in these things. You were not to endure your salvation, you were to enjoy your salvation. You're not to be worried whether that thought, that one thing, this, you know, and I find Christians think more about sin than they think about Jesus. They're always focused on where they stumbled and where they, you know, they this in their life and that in their life. Well, I'm just convinced, absolutely convinced, that he is able to present me blameless before the presence of his glory. How is that possible? Because he's able. He's able to do that. Your job, my job, is to yield to him. Our job is to let him say, thank you. Thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. You were able to save me. Well, I wrote it down. I just took my pen. I just wrote it down. Able to save. Able to keep. Able to guard. Able to intercede. Able to stand against the schemes and wiles of the devil. Able to keep me from you and I from stumbling. Able to present us faultless before his presence. Who does that? Jesus does that. That's the power. He is able. And I insult him when I keep bringing it up again, over and over again. I must settle it once and for all. I had very little to do with my salvation except believe. And I've got very little to do with my sanctification except believe. To believe that he's able to do all that's necessary to please a holy God. You can rest in that. You can enjoy that. You can whistle and praise. I've many times said, oh God, I can't believe that you still include me. So amazing that you would. And he said, I'm able to do that. As we'd simply look to him. But there's an application. The application is really important. Because how we live, if your days are mostly, can God provide? Can God look after my family? Can God keep us safe? Can God, add yours. What is that question that you're asking? Is it about your health? Is it about your finances? Is it about your family? Is it about relationships? Where is the area where you say, I really struggle with that? I really struggle trusting Christ for that. Think about it. You might even want to write it down, or at least you will when you get home. Just to write that down. Where is the area that you can say, that's the area mostly that I struggle in my life? I get panicky. I get overwhelmed. I get fearful. I get anxious. Well, if you understand the ableness of God, then that's the great consolation. this three little words, he is able, give the foundation for all of your Christian life. At never any point am I able. I'm not able to please him fully. I'm not able to walk blamelessly. I'm not able to do anything. Even the battle, when the Lord says, gird up yourself, oh, and we're going to be doing some warfare, we're going to be doing some battling. And the Lord says, he said he is able to keep you from the wiles of the devil. Well, how can you rise up if I'm wrestling with all? My point is this. It's time that we moved our question from can God to God can. And live your life with that. Focused on Christ-centered, not on your flailings and your weaknesses and your inconsistencies. You will always look into just simply to your marvelous Savior. I find he's so unbelievably marvelous. And so I'm able to say, God, you can. You can do that. You can do that. And so the question is, have I by faith said he is able? And you need to say that today. You need to walk out of here. I said something this morning. I said, God, you're able. I don't know how. I was thinking even of Elsie last week when she said, my brother, who has a godly heart, but doesn't know the Lord yet. I mean, cares about people a lot. But she said, he's not saved yet, but God's able. What do you do with your answer? You simply say, God's able to deal with them. I can't worry about that. I can be faithful. I can share where the opportunity comes. You must put the care of your unsaved loved ones and family members, you must give it back to the Lord. Say, God, you're able to save them. Can God turn back somebody to the Lord? Somebody say, far from God. Maybe they used to go to Sunday school, used to go to church. Well, we know lots of people like that. That's the question, right? Well, what's going to happen? Well, Lord, you were able to bring a backslider back. You were able. The prodigal son gives us all kinds of understandings about that. That God, you're able to do that. And I trust you and I believe you. And if it doesn't go quite the way that I think it should go, then I'm going to trust you with that. You're able to make this thing work out for good. And the purpose of it, that's all said and done. When you recognize that God is able, it's strong consolation. Because I find myself, when I get that straight from can God to God can, then I find I'm up for the battle. I say, bring it on. I'm ready. Because I've got it clear in my mind that he is able to save, to keep, to guard, to intercede, to keep me from falling, to stand. Every area, it's covered by the Lord. And therefore, we can be strong in the Lord, looking only every day to his ableness. Even your health, even your guidance for tomorrow, even going down to that job application. Right? God, I'm turn with me to it. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, just for a second. This is I'll take a moment here, just a sec. Chapter 21. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Benny Hitchinova made this real to me many years ago. When he would stand up in a midweek Bible study, no job, he had some little part-time jobs, he would say, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. I remember he'd say that. He'd say it every Wednesday night. I would remember thinking, what? What? What's that? What? You know, people see inside, oh, it's so amazing. Say, go that again. Gain. What part am I missing? He said this. The king thinks that he's in charge. He lives, dies, right? Live, die. But he's not in charge. He thinks he's in charge, but he's not in charge. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So he's able to turn the heart of the king when normally his heart would not be turned. It would not likely work out. The king will have the final say, but not if his heart's in the hand of the Lord. And I can still remember they were down cooking, Benny and Lanny were down cooking hamburgers, the Catholic school here, right? Just parents' support for extracurricular things, I guess. And the lady there who's washing dishes or cooking hamburgers says to Lanny, "Has your husband found a job yet?" And she said, "No." "Oh, my husband is in charge of all the hiring of the school board. I'll mention your name." There's a job. There's a job. He still has that job all these years. And I remember when he told me, he says, "The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord." In other words, the heart of the personnel director is in the hand of the Lord. God's able to turn his heart towards you. I remember another person that we prayed for. I don't think I'm going to, I know there's 100, well, there was. There was 150 people making an application for the same job as a bus driver. And we all prayed and we said, the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. Personnel director, the person who hires is in the hand of the Lord. Watch what this will do. And at that interview, the conversation came up, and this dear brother told the story about how he'd come to know the Lord, and everything was kind of under new management, but needed the job. The personnel director phoned me and said, "Is this guy a good guy? So you mean, can he drive a bus? I don't know. I've never ridden with him on a bus." "No," he said, "is he good with people?" He said, "Oh, by the way, is he religious?" He said, "No, I wouldn't think that thing." "No, I wouldn't think so. No, I'm pretty sure he's not religious." "Okay, because I've lost sleep over this." That's what this man said. "I've lost sleep over this. I've got 150 people that are all equally equipped to drive a bus. But I'm going to give it to him." I remember just tears. He said, "That's good." He said, "If you say a word, the deal's off. I'm not really supposed to do this. But I can't seem to get him out of my mind." He has the job. He got a job. What are the odds that 150 people applying for the same job and you're going to get it? Not that great, right? Unless God enables, changes the heart. I'm just saying, all through your, in every level, it's the ableness of God. And as we trust him, knowing that he can turn things towards us, against us. By the way, if God directs his heart away from you, there's no way, even if you are the number one candidate, you're going to get that job. But if God turns that, because he's able. Say, can God turn the heart of a hard-nosed bureaucrat that's hiring people? Yes. Yes, he can. He's quite able to do that. He's got wonderful, he's never short on plans. He is able. You know, as I look ahead, the next 10 years of my life, I'm really geared up for it. I'm really optimistic about it. I think wonderful things are going to happen. Why? Because I felt the Lord saying, "I'm going to do some things in your own heart, Owen." And I said, "Well, how would that be? Have you not been there?" And this is just a little bit following what Matthew Koshy said and what Elsie said. Have you ever had a sense? There is a sense of destiny. There is a sense that you're on the edge of something different, something, a breakthrough, something part of the journey that maybe you weren't quite anticipating, but God has stirred something in your heart. And you say, "Yes, but I don't see. I'm just, you know, here I am just sitting in church. I don't know how." God, I said to him, "Lord, whatever this next decade holds, I want to be so in the center of your will that you have to steamroll right over me, that I couldn't be more in the center. But Lord, you," and this was my confession, this is just hours ago, "you are able, and I'm going to trust you." You see, he does set us up, right? He sets us up. He can situations you never dreamed that you say, "Wow, who would have guessed that would be part of God's plan for my life?" But in your heart, you knew there was something. There's just something about the work of God in your life. You say, "I don't know what it is. It's not just my optimism. It's something that I feel God just wants me to be used by him. So I'm going to say, Lord, there is no way that I can see me pulling this off. I don't think I can pull it off." And maybe Val's feeling the same thing. And maybe Vicky's feeling the same thing. I don't know how are we going to get from A to Z, right? How are we going to get? God says, "Time to move. The cloud's moving." The cloud's moving? I always picture the children of Israel, how, you know, you're traveling all day and all night, and you finally, "The cloud's stopping, cloud's stopping." You know, they get the stuff out, get the lawn chairs, or making the meal, and they finally just get the lawn chair out, and they're just going to settle down for the night, right, at the end of journeying. Clouds moving! And, I just got the lawn chair open. That's kind of how it is. But I'm saying God is able. You see, even when you find out what your skills are, even when you find out, some of you have been in training, even when you find out what your gifting is, what your personality is, there is still something. Somebody has to open doors and somebody has to start. You know what I'm saying is God is able to do that because it's going to take God. I think the next period of your life, it's not, you will not be saying, well, I'll cut this, then we'll do that. No, I don't think so. You are simply going to say, God, I don't know what to do in this. I don't know even how to prepare myself. So I'm just going to look to you as the able one to do beyond you're able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think. Can you imagine, picture 10 years, that's quite a while. Right? Quite a while. But could you trust God for that? See, we can do what we can do. God may say, take this course, do that, get some things, you know. Sell the business, buy the business. There's lots of things he may tell you to do. But here's the thing, is that most of it requires God. It takes an enablement of God. And so the question is his arm too short? No, it's not too short. That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's not too short. Could God actually? Yes, he could. And I think you need to say, move it now, right now, from can God to God, you can. You can do in my life more than what I dreamed or ever thought about. And I praise you for your ableness in every, able to keep me saved, able to keep me from falling, and able to work in my life all the holy purposes that you have. Who knew, right? Who knew when Saul or Paul was on that on his horse, and that next thing he's on the ground? Who knew? He had no idea these things were going to happen. But there was these stirrings by God, and so I want it be my privilege as we close here this morning to pray for you that you will move first of all from unbelief to it probably won't work out. Nothing ever does work out. My life is just kind of going to be one boring end. I just got to, you know, that is not a way to live. You don't want to live like that. I think there's an adventure. And once in a while, the adventure gets crushed by life. There's just too much life going on, doesn't there? But when we get it straight, when we get this clear in our mind, that the Lord is able to do that which he's always wanted to do in your life, in my life, and all I'm suggesting we do today, just change it from can God to God can. Stand with me, if you would. Here's the question for you. How many here that you're in a situation, I just know because you have 200 people here or 300 people, whatever it is, it probably just true statistically, but how many here you need to know that God is able for whatever situation? I gave 7 ablements. How many here? Yeah, yes, 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 yes. Now, partly I could have guessed that. Right? 250, 300 people. Somebody probably has something that God needs to do. But I think there's somebody here, this is God really spoke to you. You're living in unbelief. You're living in doubt. I'm not asking you just to be optimistic for the sake of being optimistic. You know, oh, I can, I can, I can, I can, I can. I know I can, I know I can. I'm sure I can. No, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to simply believe what God was angry at the children of Israel because they thought his arm was too short. They thought he couldn't spread a table. And they thought that there's no way water is going to come from a rock. Why cannot God can bring water out of a rock, can he not? Yes, he can. Yes, 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 he can. And I want to walk, and Val and I to walk together in this. I see terms in kind of the end of this semester, and then I see it 1 year, and then 5 year, and 10 years. But God's able to do, and I say, well, I don't maybe see it right now, but I'm trusting, I'm going to surrender to the Lord. I'm going to just surrender my future to the Lord. Because I believe it's going to be really rich. Really, really rich. And I just don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what I could have got because I was still asking, can God? When everybody else said, I know God can. That's what I'm trusting. I know God can do this. And we'll rejoice and we'll bless Him and we'll praise Him. So, Father, Lord, I want to live my life in a God can attitude. Lord, I don't want to be part of that crowd that's so negative about almost everything. I surrender my heart to You. Lord, we surrender our hearts. Lord, You've been speaking to us as a church. You've been loud and clear to us, Lord. So we just say, yes, yes, Lord, yes. I say yes. I say yes to Your will. I say yes to Your program. I say yes, Lord. I don't know how to bring anything to pass, but You have never failed. You're a faithful, faithful, faithful God who is able. Lord, I know we're dealing with the God of the universe. The God of the universe. The Lord God Almighty. Mighty in power. Mighty in strength. Lord, You're able. So able. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, whenever I begin to doubt Your plans and doubt Your love and doubt Your care and doubt Your ability to keep me saved, Lord, just rebuke me. I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. Thank You, Lord. You're well able. Well able. We love You. Thank You for this week that's coming up. I pray, God, Your blessing on each and every person who's standing here. I pray they will rise up now, Lord, knowing that God can. Lord, they can launch into the battle. They can lay hold of divine power. They can lay hold of the strength of God. Lord, it won't be just gritting our teeth. We lay hold of God's strength. We lay hold of the armor, able to stand against the wiles of the devil, able to stand in that evil day and not be the guy screaming. But Lord, to be the one saying, God can. Lord, thank You. And if we're going to err, Lord, let us err on the side of faith that we trusted You. Thank You for Your kindnesses. Thank You for Your provisions along the way. Thank You for the voice of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord. We yield ourselves. Maybe just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we yield to You. And we move from the negative, can God, to the faith-filling, God can. We declare it, Lord. Hallelujah. So able to save us and keep us saved. You're able to, Lord, move us from strength to strength, from blessing to blessing, from glory to glory. So able. So we put our trust in You, Lord, this day and in the days ahead for the great adventure of our lives serving You, the living God. We love You. We praise You. We say this all in the name of Jesus. And Lord, now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be ours both now and forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The patio is open. We welcome you to come and join us out there. Thank you.